Send a movie idea.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to The Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules are simple. Oh boy, they're simple. They're so simple that even a thick human can understand them. That's how simple they are.
Don't even explain them, mate.
They're very simple rules. They don't even really need explaining, that we won't ever actually explain them because we just say the rules are simple and then don't sort of explain that there are any rules. No one really understands what the rules are. No one understands why we introduce the concept of rules and then never refer to rules ever again. But basically, we can discuss as many ideas as we like, and only one can be taken to the next stage, where it'll be pitched to replace the gaping hole in the schedule that's been created by the axing of Robot Wars.
Oh.
Who knew that was still on? I didn't know it was still on.
I came back.
Did it?
Yeah.
Not for very long.
No.
Great. What was it, just like Google Homes and Alexa's fighting each other?
Yeah, pretty much.
It was more a rap battle than an actual physical fight.
Yeah.
Hang on.
What?
Maybe they cancelled it too hastily.
Yeah.
Maybe that is the future of Robot Wars. Rap battles. I'm Joel, a man who puts the chin in urchin. And across from me is John Harris, a man who released 6 mixtapes in the early 2000s under the pseudonym Lil John.
Yeah.
That's Lille, as in the French city.
I got it.
Because John is a bit French.
A bit.
Very clever of me, that, isn't it? You ever been to Lille?
No.
I changed trains there once.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And?
Ooh, efficient.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Went from Ebbsfleet, about 5:40 departure.
Yeah.
Arrived in France maybe an hour and 30 after that, but it felt like 2 hours 30 because of the time difference. Ate maybe a croissant in Lille with my good friend Chris.
Yeah.
Friend of the show. Walked. You know when you've got a bit of time to kill, too much to spend it in the train station, but not enough to really see anything. So we walked maybe 400 metres outside of the train station, went, ha, Lille. And then went back and then got a train to what I like to call Paris.
There was that weird moment where, so SNF, I think that's what it is.
Boo-doo, boo-doo, boo-doo.
Yeah, and then a famous musician, I think David Gilmour,
yeah,
wrote an entire song around it.
I absolutely love it. It's
that's
so good.
So weird.
It's amazing.
I don't know, it's like someone getting the airport announcement sound from like British Airways or whatever, and then just going, yeah, now I'm going to make it into a rock song.
But for anyone that's ever travelled by train in France, that sound does like haunt your nightmares.
Yeah. To us, it's fine because we associate travelling in France with like a holiday or a nice thing. But
I assume,
yeah, the French just listen to that pop song and think, "Fuck, I commute." Horrible. Where are we? What's happening? Have we started this episode yet?
Yes.
You remember earlier you said the rules were so simple that we don't need to explain them.
Yeah.
But what I do realise is that, and you did point out, we never follow that.
We don't even outline what the rules are.
And when was the last time we picked a winner?
Yeah, exactly, mate. The rule is that there are no rules.
Unless
we refer to them at some point.
The rules are simple. There are no rules.
The rules are simple. No heavy petting. Right. What are we here to do, John?
Pitch some movies.
Boo-doo, boo-doo, boo-doo.
What about this one from Sean? It's a sequel to Bugsy Post Malone, which was from probably like 2 months ago now.
Mm-hmm.
ASAP Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Great. Great. Just a re-release, but with hip-hop music.
Yeah.
Have you seen the Rocky Picture Show?
No.
Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Too sexy.
It's really great. It's very. It's too sexy for you. You wouldn't know where to look. Your eyes would be like off screen the whole time.
I'll be embarrassed.
When I watch a horror film, rarely, but my girlfriend really likes them, and so occasionally I watch a horror film, I've got techniques for making it look like I'm watching the screen but not actually watching the screen. So I'll lean in a certain way, like I'll put my hand sort of next to my eye, and I won't actually be looking at the screen for maybe 80% of the film.
You put on those glasses with the eyes drawn on.
Exactly. I leave the room when she's not looking.
So looking at the screen, like not looking at the screen, will somewhat downplay
how scared you are. Of course it will. Because I'm not seeing what's happening.
I think it's the noises that scare me the most, like the da-da-da, bang! That's
not scary though, is it? Because it's just sounds. If they're not linked to anything.
I think I could watch the scariest movie in the world on mute.
See, I reckon I could watch the scariest movie in the world without looking at it.
Together? We make one man.
I can't remember what we're talking about.
The ASAP Rocky Horror Picture Show.
So what I'm saying is, that's how I am towards horror films. I feel that's how you'd be towards sexy films.
Yeah.
You can't look at the screen, but you can hear the sound.
Yeah.
Anyway, ASAP Rocky Picture Horror Show. Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah. So have you seen the Rocky Horror Picture Show?
Yeah.
What happens and how are we going
to
get...
They go to a hotel or something and Tim Curry dresses up.
So ASAP Rocky goes to a hotel.
In drag. I'd be up for that.
Yeah. Thanks, Sean. I think I would watch that. Would you like another one?
Yeah.
What about this one from Rachel? Arnie, brackets Annie, but starring Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Ah, tomorrow. Tomorrow.
Oh, it's a hard knock life.
It's only a day away. Why did I go like Scottish?
Duncan Monotone.
Wow. Maybe I can do impressions, but only if I'm trying to do someone else. I can't do an Arnie impression. That's what we've learned. But bloody hell, if someone could send in some Bannatyne ideas, that I will voice the hell out of them. Fun fact, John.
What?
I served Duncan Bannatyne his first ever Jägerbomb. That's true, and maybe we'll talk about that at the end of the show.
Fog on the Duncan Bannatyne. There you go. For next week. Arnie, he can't be... Well, I mean,
can you say bet your bottom dollar in the Arnie voice?
Bet your bottom dollar.
That's great.
It's not... It's ish.
It's good enough.
It's better than your Duncan Bannatyne.
Okay.
So, at first I was going to say, he can't be the orphan, Annie. But then, actually, he totally can. Yeah. He's
little pigtails.
Transformative.
Yeah, I'd love it.
Would we use, like, Lord of the Rings style camera angles and video editing to make him the size of a child?
No, he's Arnie size. And that's why no one will adopt him.
Aww.
Yeah. He's also the same age he is now.
I just want to be adopted.
One from me. Michael gets in touch with this one. It's Tomb Vader.
Tim Vader.
Tomb Vader.
Tomb Vader.
Darth Vader.
Oh, okay.
Vade in tombs.
Vade. He has to Vade tombs.
He has to Vade them, yeah.
Is that when Vader raids tombs?
Yeah, so they've done another Tomb Raider.
Mm.
Apparently it's bad. So Darth Vader, there's no work for him left in space. So he...
What work was he doing up until that point? Evil. Of interest. Oh, stuff. Yeah.
So in this timeline, he survives.
Yeah.
Survives the Death Star being blown up. Mm. And he lands on Earth. And when he's... Because it's a galaxy long, long time ago.
Yeah.
He lands around the time that they're uncovering Tutankhamun. And he leads the expedition in his full cape and helmet.
Wait. When was that? Like the 50s?
Yeah.
So a long time ago, I didn't know, so a long time ago was only the 50s.
Years. Yeah.
Yeah. And when the films came out, which was like 30 years ago, so it was only about 40 years ago.
Wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, actually, there's a tiny asterisk in the long time ago.
Not really that long ago. And then Darth Vader becomes the leading Tomb Raider. There you go, mate.
I'm not sure, mate. I'm not sure whether Michael's idea is going to really cut the mustard. I feel like he'd be quite good... Actually, he'd make it way too easy. You know, there's all those, like, you know, jumping around, spinning spikes, stuff. He just, like, freezes
exactly,
everything.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
Moves on.
Yeah.
He's great.
He's the best at raiding tombs.
I must have watched the Angelina Jolie Tomb Raider at some point, but I couldn't tell you what happens in
there. Daniel Craig's in it?
Yeah. Do we deal with the supernatural?
Are they cursed? Yeah, there's got to be a curse. Yeah. There's always a curse.
I just wanted to make sure.
It's not just practical.
It's not like the mummy. It's like the mummy.
It's like the mummy, yeah.
Wait a second. They're all the same.
They are all the same.
Tomb Raider, Indiana Jones, The Mummy.
Yeah.
What? Is that all take place in the same universe?
But that's like saying all sci-fi films are the same because they happen in space and they're spaceships.
Wait a second. What? How about this one from Daniel? He DM'd us on the Twitter just to shout out to remind you guys that we exist on Twitter and we're
yes.
Welcome.
Well done, Daniel.
Right. He came up with Beastie Boys from Brazil. Now.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
Yeah, and I didn't either. And so I Googled Boys from Brazil.
Sounds suspect Googling that.
And I immediately told Joel not to Google it because I found out what happens in this film.
The porn. Oh. All the porn that comes up. So there's actually a movie called Boys from Brazil. Yeah. Is it a well-known movie?
I mean, Laurence Olivier and Gregory Peck are in it.
Oh, two of the big hitters.
70% on Rotten Tomatoes. Released on 5th of October 1978.
Okay.
I shit you not, Joel. This is the synopsis on Google.
On Google.
I hope it's true.
Yeah.
And someone hasn't... Like, what Daniel's done is he's found Boys from Brazil, a film no one's written a synopsis for, just to stitch me up right now. Ready? Dr. Joseph Mengele clones Hitler 95 times.
And get away. That's not happening. Why 95 times?
And hopes to raise the resulting boys in Brazil, giving them childhoods identical to Hitler's. His ultimate plan is to create a band of Nazi leaders that can continue where Hitler left off, forming the Fourth Reich.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I would give anything to watch this movie. So the idea being there that Hitler escaped to South America.
Yeah, I guess.
And so they've got Hitler in South America, famously Argentina, and they cloned him.
Yeah.
But Boys from Brazil sounds better than Boys from Argentina.
Yeah.
Boys from Buenos Aires, I would have called it. Better.
Yeah.
95 Hitlers sounds like the sort of band that would be low down the bill download, don't you think?
Yeah.
We are 95 Hitlers! 1, 2, 3, 4!
Yeah,
I'd watch him. I'd give him a go. But it's Beastie Boys, we've got to remember.
Right, so Beastie Boys... So have they cloned the Beastie Boys 95 times in the hope to change hip hop?
Yeah.
Or have the Beastie Boys cloned Hitler 95 times?
Oh, nice. Wait. No. No. No, the Beastie Boys. Why would the Beastie Boys clone Hitler 95 times?
Why does anything happen?
I mean, why? Who made this film in the first place? Also, is it 275 people full stop or is it 95 divide? Is it what I'm trying to say is, are we counting each member of the Beastie Boys separately 95 times, or are we dividing 95 by
each
three?
Each one of the Beastie Boys clones a despotic leader from history 95 times to see who comes out on top.
So who we got? Start.
MCA is cloning Hitler. There's no rhyme or reason to this. Don't think I'm trying to associate anything with any of it. They're actually pretty liberal guys.
Yeah.
Mike D, Chairman Mao.
For the record, I am totally taking this out of context to put on social media.
Ad Rock. Which one of the despotic leaders is Ad Rock going to clone? He found himself wondering. Mugabe.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Okay. They've all got the genes of each one of those people.
Yeah.
And they cloned them 95 times in various countries in South America with the hope of rising up and conquering the earth.
Yeah.
There you go, mate.
I feel like it's a very misunderstood idea of like the power of the actual individuals in those things happening.
Like, no, it's not.
You can't just
imagine, but imagine having 95 of that power.
You just have 95 people who agree with each other. It doesn't mean it's going to
happen. How powerful is that?
I don't know. I've been on Twitter. It does seem pretty powerful.
You got 95 followers now, have you?
No, but they don't all agree with me. I'm looking forward to it, though.
They are all clones. I just want to say, for the record, Beastie Boys are great.
Oh, yeah.
I love them so much.
I preferred the idea of the film where we just cloned the Beastie Boys 95 times, you know, so we don't ever have to
fulfil a tough touring schedule.
Yeah. And, you know, like, look, I was happy with all, like, you know, when they did, like, instrumental albums and stuff.
Yeah.
But if there's 95 of them, they could do the stuff they want to do and the hip-hop records.
Oh,
they'd be releasing 12 records a year.
Oh, one a month.
Yeah, it might be quite stressful, actually. And then they would tour, and then they would get into, like, beefs with each
with
other.
With themselves.
Oh, yeah, amazing. So it'd be like the real Beastie Boys would be the original three.
And then who? But then you wouldn't know who the originals were. And there'd be a final bit where, I don't know, they had to prove that in court they were the original Beastie Boys.
Here's a fun concept for either a Black Mirror episode or a future film.
95 Beastie Boys, yep.
No. Is a future world in which tribute acts are clones.
Ooh,
that is a fun idea, isn't it?
That is a good idea.
So you go and see like the Michael Jackson tribute act, and it's actually genetically Michael Jackson. Yeah. They're not quite the same because he's in a pub in Kettering.
That sounds great. Well done, mate. Cheers. You're welcome, Charlie
Thank
Brooker.
You.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Okay, so this one was sent in by Anthony, and he's actually sent us a picture, which is, I'm a big fan of that kind of correspondence. You know, there's more to it than just a pun.
Yeah.
And it's a photo from nearby South Ealing Station, so it's in Ealing. He sent in a photo, which I'm about to show you, John, I want you to describe, and the film is One Billboard Outside Ealing.
Okay. it's just a house, and on the side it's got a white billboard. And then there's, in black text, nothing else. It's just the word in capital letters, funerals.
And it just takes up the whole billboard. And there's no, like there's no instruction of where that happens or what. It just says funerals in massive, massive practical font, black font on a white background. What's the story there?
It's a guerrilla marketing campaign for my new band, Funerals.
Oh, yeah. You've got 95 Hitler supporting you on tour, haven't you?
Yeah.
So what's going on there? Why are they just trying to get the idea of funerals into people's heads? But who's funding that ad campaign?
It's like Anthony didn't realise that it's like three billboards outside of music. It was like 24 and it's an entire sentence broken out into words. So he's just caught the word funerals.
So what is that entire sentence?
It's like some sort of, it's about some sort of like serviceman or some sort of great person, and they couldn't afford to have anything but a pauper's funeral, and the local government should be ashamed that happened.
Okay, good.
And that's in the sense. It's quite a dark one, I'm sorry. Yeah. But I mean, you did present me with the
and
word
actually,
funerals.
And nobody has read the entire sentence. They really badly thought out the locations and the set and how split up they were.
I would love to see the billboard that said, like, A.
I'm sure you can imagine what that would look like. You don't really need to see it.
Look, listener, follow us, Dream Factory Pod on Twitter. If you can't work out what it would look like, I'll mock it up.
We're going to have some fun with that billboard.
Here's one from Miley. They've sent us, as you were saying, we're a big fan of, you know, send us a screen grab of an article.
Oh, absolutely.
One time we got, like, someone commented on a picture of Kevin Bacon and a duck.
That's all we needed.
Tagged us, said, make this film. Like, any kind of inspiration that you think there needs to be a film made out of this, regardless of puns or anything, just let us know and we'll get involved. So this is an article, and the headline is, Limp Bizkit's Fred Durst is directing a new film starring John Travolta.
Right.
And the film is called Moose.
So, how did that come about?
I don't know.
You've got to wonder, haven't you? Two failing careers?
All right. Yeah.
Hang on, what were you going to say then?
I was going to defend John Travolta for a second.
What's he done recently?
He did that. I say he did this recently. It was like 10 years ago now. Did you see that one where he did From Paris with Love and he played like a roided up, like bold,
yeah,
like assassin?
And that was going to be your defence.
Covered in cocaine.
John Travolta's doing all right. 10 years ago, he played a bald assassin in a film no one's ever seen. Oh, no, fair play, John. Yeah. You're right. Yeah, he's on the up and up. And Fred Durst, fuck knows, mate. I couldn't tell you anything Fred Durst has done in the last 15 years.
When they became big, like, what was it, hot dog flavoured, chocolate starfish in the hot dog flavoured water, which is the name of the album. If Limp Bizkit said they were going to tour that album, I'd probably go, because I probably remember too much of it from misspent teenage days learning all the lyrics to Roll In.
I'm proud of myself for always thinking they were shit.
Oh, well done, mate.
Yeah.
I won't invite you to the gig.
Shit. And I will be avoiding this film like the plague, unless it's like Grease. Mousse is Grease, because they're both hair products. So is that the idea?
Oh, like, well, I mean, it's Mousse like the animal, but I like, let's go with this for a bit.
Yeah.
So it's Grease. Is Grease a hair product? Oh, like,
that's
Brill
why it's
cream,
called Grease, because it's in the car, but it's also the hair. What they put in the hair, they call Grease. Why do you think it was called Grease?
I've never
set in Athens.
No, I've never thought about it, Joel, and I'm excited to think about it now.
Okay. Have you ever used Grease or Mousse in your hair?
No. Wait, Mousse, no. Yeah, maybe Mousse at some point.
Mousse is the long-awaited actual sequel to Grease.
Okay.
And it's new metal soundtrack. Yeah. So John Travolta performing new metal tracks.
Oh! He's like... he's rapping.
Well, there is that sound in A Wella Wella Wella. Tell me more, tell me more.
Wella Wella Wella. Oh! And then the DJ from Limp Bizkit comes in and they're like...
Alright, I take everything back I've said. I would fucking watch this film. I would absolutely watch this film. Yeah, it's a new metal reimagining of Grease called Mousse.
And it takes place the year after Grease. And John Travolta plays the same character in the same outfits and stuff.
Yeah, I'm so up for it. Where did that car fly off to at the end? That's what we've all wondered.
What, wait, what?
In the Grease. The car flies off. There's like no mention of anything magical in the entire movie. And then at the end at the fairground, the car's like 100 feet in the air, just flying off.
I forgot about that. So it mostly takes place in that car. They're trying to get back to Earth. They're flying through space in a car.
Yeah, rapping. Rapping and rocking, but doing neither one that well.
Oh, new metal.
Yeah.
How we miss you.
A brief flicker. John.
Yes.
It's about the point in the show that we move around to our own ideas. Would you like to hear mine?
No, I want to do mine first. You always go first.
All right.
Actually, weirdly, on the subject of John Travolta...
Good.
I think about him a lot. And I don't know if you remember, pre-Moonlight Gate, in a world where we could only only dream of a scandal as ridiculous as getting the envelopes wrong.
Yes.
There was a famous misnaming of something, and it was the year, I assume, would it have been Frozen?
I believe it was
the year Frozen came out. John Travolta is there to introduce someone to the stage, and after waxing lyrical about how brilliant she is, and it's brilliant because he says in a tone of voice no one's ever used before, he says, "The wickedly talented Adele Dazeem," right? Who, until this point, no one knew existed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this is my film. It's the Adele Dazeem biopic.
Brilliant.
Because someone called Idina Menzel comes out.
Yes. So what happened to Adele Dazeem?
She was waiting in the wings.
And that was it. And then, so it's like, what happened to her subsequently?
Yeah.
She never got that big break.
Yeah. So she gets a call from her agent. John Travolta wants you at the Oscars. So Adele Dazeem gets ready for a big night. She takes that first step. Well, if you look, watch closely, this conspiracy theory stuff. If you watch closely, you see another foot come out and then gets pulled back in because Idina Menzel comes out. And she's like a tyrant character, Idina Menzel.
Yeah.
She's happy to steal
Adele Dazeem. That sounds a bit like my name. Straight out there, singing Let It Go.
It was lucky she knew the words. It was really lucky she knew the words.
So it's kind of, yeah, the fall of Adele Dazeem.
The fall from grace, but it's like a fall
So it's about almost getting there, but not quite.
Yeah, I like it. And it's just, yeah, it's just a sweet film about
it sounds
lady
really
not
lovely.
Quite
sounds good.
Getting there.
My idea, John, is Conference Call Me By Your Name.
Okay.
And it's about that bit at the start of a conference call where everyone sort of can't really, doesn't know how to speak. And you know when you have to, so you enter, I don't, for anyone that has never experienced the hell of a conference call, you dial up a certain number and put a pin in, then it says, say your name after the tone.
Yeah.
And so you say your name, conference call me by your name. Mm. And then there's a bit when no one knows how and when to speak. And it's like no normal interaction you've ever had. And people just talk over each other all the time. And nothing gets done. And it's about two people on a conference call falling in love.
Oh.
Yeah. With overlapping and interrupting.
Because like...
Sorry, so you go... No, you go on. go on.
So...
Is there a delay? I can't hear.
Greg
has now entered the call. That's what happens every time, isn't it? There'll be a couple of you trying to negotiate the awkward silences, and then finally you'll reach a point where you know who the other person is going to speak. As soon as they start speaking, it'll go, boop, Natalie has entered. And it'll just be them going, Natalie has entered the call. And then you're like, everyone again has to go, oh, hi, Natalie. Yeah. So I've got, so John's on the other end of the line. I'm here as well, Natalie. John was just about to speak to us about what we're going to be covering in the call now. So he'll go again. John?
Yeah, so if we...
Boop. Sandra has entered the call. Hi, Sandra. Yeah, so we've got Natalie and John here at the moment. I'm Joel. Anyway, how are the kids, Sandra? Good. Yeah, I saw one was ill the other day. Glad they're over it. Anyway, so John was just about to tell us what we're going to be covering in this conference call. We're actually starting to run out of time now. So, Natalie, Sandra, you know, meet John. John, go on.
Are they all going to be falling?
Martin has entered the call. Hi, Martin. Thanks. I know you're a little bit late, mate, but I know what it's like. It's been a bit of a mad week for you, so I understand. Just to let you know, Natalie and Sandra are already here. Really nice of them to join. And we've got John here, and John's actually just about to tell us what we're going to be talking about in this call. John, go on.
Hi, John. Nice to meet you. Carry on.
John, Martin, it sounds like there's a bad line where you are. Is there any chance you could put your phone on mute? Boop, boop. No, it's not. It's not any of those buttons, Martin. I think you have to press the hash key and then the. Okay, so Martin's hung up on us now. We'll have to wait for Martin to re-enter the call because he's got to sign off the budget on this. Anyway, Natalie, how are you? That's kind of how it. That's essentially every conference call that's ever happened. It's a pointless waste of time, right? I hate them. I dread them.
So they're just two guys who are in love with each other.
The two guys are in love with each other, and they only ever speak to each other on this conference call. And they, what they do, John, is they wait until everyone else has gone, and then they have like a little 5 minutes where they can check.
Beep! James is back on the line.
Yeah, it's the plot of Call Me By Your Name, but if every interaction had happened via conference call,
that's quite sweet. And then James comes back on the line, and they have to be like, "Yeah, so anyway, I'll catch you for that meeting and the budget."
Yeah.
But they're actually in love. Oh, that's quite sweet. And also, there's some sort of like metaphor for like the stilted conversations that happen in a conference call are sometimes like the awkward conversations that happen between a new couple.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at.
Yeah, you're deep, Jules. People tell me all the time you're so deep, and I didn't realise it till now.
Yeah. It happens a lot. So, John, the rules are very simple. What? Who's the winner of this week?
Oh, we're going to do that this week?
Why not?
Oh, Beastie Boys from Brazil.
Beastie Boys from Brazil. Thank you very much. Now, we have reached the end of this episode of The Dream Factory. We know that because there is a rat-tat-tat at the studio door. And who has entered but...
Adele Dazeem!
Adele Dazeem!
The wickedly talented!
Boop! Adele Dazeem has entered the studio.
Do you ever get it when you're like watching like a film or like a drama TV show and it's nighttime, or you're at the cinema and there's a sequence where they're in bed and you get envious of the people in the film?
I do all the time.
You're like, oh, really? I really wish that I was where they are right now.
Bed is so good. Are there any cinemas with beds?
I went, no. Sorry, there probably are. Let's be fair. They've gimmicked everything by this point. They've done it all. But, I went to one recently, the Electric Cinema in Shoreditch, where they had like armchairs and they had like tiny little dim lamps next on the tables. Yeah, it was fine. I was worried it'd be distracting, but they're so dim.
Okay.
And they have like blankets on the back of your chairs and stuff.
What did you see?
Ladybird, which is phenomenal. I would recommend that to anyone. I thought it was brilliant. I was worried the trailers and stuff made it look like it was going to be like quirky for quirky's sake, but it's absolutely not. It's really, really good. I really loved it.
I need to see it.
But yeah, I get a bit... I'm a bit funny about kind of like... I hate stunt cinema.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we've discussed this before, but you told me to stop having a go at other people having fun when I said about how much I don't like the concept of like secret cinema and stuff.
Yeah.
and I'm a bit funny about like that place where they were like, I went and got my ticket and she was like, the bar's over there for you to get drinks and food, and the food is like platters of nachos.
Yeah, the only thing that I stress out about is the one where they do table service.
Yeah.
I don't understand how that works. Surely you can't speak to them. Maybe you press things. Maybe there's a button in the arm you press that's like chips.
But even if that was the case, I still would be a bit annoyed by someone constantly.
Waiters and waitresses coming in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even someone going to the... In that place that I went to, that it was a smaller one where it's a door to get in and out. Yeah. I kept... Like, every time you'd hear the door open and close. Even though... I don't know why. Your brain goes, I'm going to look at that door.
Yeah, you have to look at...
Yeah.
Imagine the sort of sociopath you'd have to be not to look at a door as it opened.
Yeah. So that's annoying. And so, yeah, if you've got waitresses coming in and out. But then, I don't know, I'm being a massive hypocrite because I probably don't mind going to watch a blockbuster and eating 18, you know, kilos of popcorn.
Yeah, that is great.
When you eat popcorn at a cinema, how much is left by the time the opening credits roll?
I'm a pervert for it and none.
Yeah.
Even when I always buy the largest one possible because the entry point of price of popcorn in the cinema is so much that you always might as well spend the extra 70p or whatever,
like,
to make it
large. £18 for a small, yeah. £18 and a penny for a medium.
Yeah, exactly. So you always go large all the time, regardless of what the entry level price is.
Yeah.
Because if you've committed to buying popcorn in a cinema, you've committed to spending a lot of money.
Yeah.
Go whole hog. Yeah, I always just scoff the lot, mate. I just sit there. It's like you eat it. It's like breathing, eating popcorn. You just inhale without even realising. And I'll just chuck big handfuls in all the time. Are you a sweet or a salty guy? Or
no.
A combination?
I'm not a combination guy.
I love a combination.
I cannot abide by people who mix sweet and salty popcorn. Well, no. I can abide by people who do it. I don't care. But personally, it's not for me. Salted popcorn. Well, either, but separate.
Okay, good. Have you ever put a little sweet in there? This is a big thing, isn't it? I've seen they're selling them now at the counter. You can buy like a packet of M&M's that specifically it says put this on top of your popcorn.
What?
Yeah. Called toppers.
Yeah. No. And in the States they put like butter on their popcorn.
I know, mate. What happens to your hands? I hate getting sticky and greasy hands when I eat.
Yeah.
So what I do is just take in my own Lure pack and just spread it on each individual corn.
And you eat your popcorn in the cinema using like doctor's gloves, like those blue surgical gloves.
Yeah, I do, yeah. It's just a better experience all around.
It puts people off though when they see you like applying them and just whipping them. Yeah. Crack. On. All right, let's watch this film.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.